I was going through a file this summer and I ran across something that I had saved. It was a survey of people over 70 years old. And the survey had asked the people, you know, if you could do it differently, what would you change? What would you do differently if you could? And the responses were like this. That some of them said, we wouldn't sweat the small stuff so much. We wouldn't waste our time sweating the small stuff. We'd spend more time with the people we really cared about. And we'd do more to make some kind of difference. So we felt like our lives made a difference while we walked this earth. Interesting comments from people. I kind of want to talk about that today. And I want to use this lesson from Joshua as a way to kind of get into the topic. But before we get to Joshua, let's back up in biblical history to the time of Moses to get a sense of the context in which we're talking about these verses from Joshua. Of course, Moses was the one who led the Israelites out of slavery, out of Egypt, in towards the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua is sort of like Moses' right-hand man. They get to a place where they can see the promised land, and Moses by then is an old man, and he dies. He never gets to the promised land. He hands over the mantle of leadership to his man, Joshua, and Joshua leads the people into the promised land. Now, they will have battles, and they will have challenges, and they will go through all of that. But as we read these verses from the 24th chapter of Joshua, Joshua now is an old man, and the people have had relative peace. Things have been going well for them. They've enjoyed all of the things that God said would happen in the promised land. They've enjoyed the blessings of the promised land. Things have been going well. And Joshua is now an old man, and he's getting ready to die. And what he's witnessing in people is, you know, they've just sort of taken God for granted. And he's saying to them, hey, worship God. Don't take God for granted. Isn't that how human beings are? Aren't we as faithful people? You know, when things are going well, it's so easy to take God for granted. It's so easy just to take it all for granted that God is there doing his thing, blessing us, watching over us. But boy, when things go bad, God better be there, right? And that's kind of where the people are. And he says this, so now fear God, worship him in total commitment. Get rid of all these other gods of your ancestors. You know, what is this worship in God mean? If you look at worship by definition, it's our attention, our focused attention and devotion on something or someone. That's really what worship is, focusing our attention and our devotion on something or someone. So if we worship God, that's our focused attention. That's our focused devotion. Whatever we worship has meaning to us because whatever we worship defines how we're going to live life. And so they're struggling with other gods, ancient gods, and we struggle with other gods as well. I mean, let's face it. There are other things that get our attention and devotion. There are other things other than God that sometimes lead us into the decisions that we make, into the values that we make, into the priorities that we make. I mean, sometimes it's power and prestige, it's title. That becomes our God. That becomes the sole focus of our life. That is so important to us that that's what we strive for. Sometimes it's materialism. It's stuff. It's stuff. And we're never satisfied. We always want the bigger, the better, the newer, the brighter, whatever it is. And for some people, that is their God because that is their focus as attention, and it makes a difference as to how they make decisions in their life. Some people, it's money. Money becomes the focus of their attention and devotion and what money is. I was having a conversation this week with a person. He had lost his mother a year ago. And I said, how are things going with you and your family, you know, grieving your mom's death and everything? And he said, you know, things have been going pretty well until just recently. And I said, well, what's up? And he says, you know, I have two sisters. And he said, my one sister, all she can think about is money. And he says, my mom had some things that were really, they're kind of treasures. They're wonderful things, and they're worth some money. And my one sister and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we just split all this stuff up, and so the grandkids could have something from grandma, and we could have something to remember mom by. But my sister, my other sister, she wants to sell it all so she can get at the money. It's amazing how when we focus our attention and devotion on something, how it can determine what our priorities are, how we act, how we behave, how we do life. And Joshua is saying, choose God. Make God the center of your attention and devotion. He says to the people, as for me and my family, we will worship God. Another translation of this is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And basically, it's the same thing, because if you are worshiping God, if God is the center of your attention and focused devotion, it will reflect on how you live your life. And how you live your life will serve the purposes of God, because your priorities will become that way. I don't know where I got this. I know I got it right before I became a pastor. I've had it bouncing around in my head for so many years. But somebody said something and it stuck with me. And it's, you know, and for those people who are my teachers, they're saying, they'd probably say to me, I'm glad something stuck with him. But it's the saying of where you place your time, you place your life. And where you place your life, you place your love. Where you place your time, you place your life. Well, that makes perfect sense. We call it a lifetime, don't we? So where you spend your time, that's where you're spending your life. And where you spend your life, you hope that you're using your time and your life to do the things that you really love, that are really important to you, right? That made perfect sense to me. And then I thought about time for a little bit. Time is the greatest resource of our life. There is no greater resource that you and I have than time. But the thing about time is, we have no idea how much of it we're going to get. We have no idea how much we're going to get. I think about my own family. My father, he got 71 years. My mother's almost 88, she's still going. My sister only got 18 years. How much time are we going to have? We don't know. And the other thing about time is that once you use it, you can't ever get any of it back. It's gone forever. Forever. You and I cannot retrieve one moment from yesterday, can we? And relive it and have it again. It's spent. It's gone. And so when we think about time that way, the last thing we want to do with time is what? Waste it. Because it's such a valuable resource. So how we use our time says a lot about what's really important to us. Or it should. Sometimes we'd say, well, if that's true, how I use my time should be on the things that are really important to me. I got to change some things in how I use my time because I'm wasting a lot of time. I go back to that survey of those 70-year-olds. If you had to do it over, what would you do different? Don't sweat the small stuff. Spend more time with the people you really care about and love. Do something to make a difference. How we use our time says a lot about what's really at the heart of who we are, isn't it? Now, certainly, there are things that we don't love that we have to use our time in, like doing the laundry, you know, going to the grocery store, mowing the yard, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, there are some things like that we have to spend our time in. But in the bigger picture, how are you using your time? Hopefully, if you're working, you're working in some kind of job that you enjoy, so that when you give all that time to your work, it's something that you love. I was talking to somebody before the service about, he's got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old sons, and he was talking about, you know, I just want my sons to find something that they love doing. You know, it's not about the money. Find something you love doing. And boy, is that ever true. Because if it's your time and that's how you're going to spend your life, you certainly want to spend your life doing something that you love, that you enjoy, that gives you some sense of, yeah, I'm using my gifts. And yet, think about all the times that we can get sidetracked. And it's because we lose our focus, because we lose our attention. Again, I go back to this definition of worship. Worship is our focused attention and devotion on God. And so when we're worshiping God, when God's at the center of our focus and devotion, God is then able to help us develop the priorities and the values that truly are important, so that we do use our time in ways that truly make a difference, that bring joy, that bring peace, that bring a sense of satisfaction, so that when our time is ended, when our time comes to an end, we can look back and say, yeah, thank you, God. Somehow you used me in all of this, and I'm so appreciative of it. I mean, you and I, we've been to funerals, and we've heard the celebration of life, people talking about how this person's life made a difference. It's kind of sad that we have to wait till they die to hear all those great things. But we've heard that. But think about it from your own point of view. To be able to enter into the gates of heaven and to look back upon your life and you say, wow. I certainly wasn't perfect. I made my mistakes. But I can see now how God helped me use my life in a way that really made a difference. I think that's what Joshua's trying to get at today when he's talking to the people of Israel. As he's ready to kind of hand leadership over, he's saying, as for me and my family, we will worship God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.